Sorry, everyone. That was me trying to play a song and it not working. So, not going to do that. Oh, it's because it's playing off my laptop, not off this computer. Sorry, everyone. I'll introduce the song. here we go. This is Marlon Williams with Nobody Gets What They Want Anymore, which obviously won the Silver Scroll this week. It's a great tune. So, give it a listen right now because I'm playing it. All right, cool. And welcome to another exciting episode of Kick Arts, Auckland's comprehensive art show, brought to you every Sunday night at Planet FM 104.6 or live streamed at planetaudio.org.nz. Now that was Marlon Williams featuring Aldous Harding with Nobody Gets What They Want Anymore, which I saw at the Silver Scrolls on... I saw at a beautiful cover of it done by Finn Andrews and Nadia Reid on Thursday at the Silver Scrolls before he won the Silver Scroll for that song, which was very well deserved, I thought. Do you agree, co-host Jimmy Henderson?
Absolutely. Yep. Beautiful song.
Beautiful song. Also, welcome to the studio. Welcome back.
Hello.
And you're going to be doing a review for us tonight.
Yeah.
What are you going to be reviewing?
I'm going to be reviewing the New Zealand Symphony Orchestra concert that I went to last night, which was Moza plays Shostakovich.
Did you like it? Spoiler alert. You loved it.
That's my whole review.
And you've got some music for us a little bit later.
Yeah, it was. It's part of one of the pieces that was played last night.
Cool, which you played me earlier on, and I am not a big classical music lover, but I dug it.
Cool.
It was good. I was actively listening to that.
Nice.
It was good. Thanks for coming.
No worries.
All right. Cool. Now, riding solo tonight, our next guest here, could you please introduce yourself to the room and tell us you're going to be playing some music as well tonight?
Yes, I am. My name is Chloe, and I am the director for Stray Theatre Company's Saturday Night Vignettes. This is a show. This is a show written by Daniel Vernon, and it is basically about. It's cool. It's the tagline for it is Modern Millennial Musical. So it's basically a good old original musical about set on a night out, like a Saturday night, hence the title, and it's about like a classic night out and where that can take you, and it gets a bit extreme.
Extreme in like a realistic kind of a way, or extreme in like a
extreme in like a musical kind of way. You know how musicals can just get real spontaneous and very arbitrary sometimes.
Yep.
But we include a lot of social commentary on that aspect. So there's lots about like queer culture and queer culture. Let's leave it there.
Cool. Well, looking forward to hearing more about that. Also, shout out to Daniel, who we were really looking forward to meeting tonight, and just isn't here.
No, he is not present.
Yeah, shout out Daniel. You're cool. Also, welcome to the studio, Amber and Lauren. Now, you don't have any music that you brought for your piece.
No.
So you guys can just pick a song to take us out with, because otherwise you'll be the only portion of the show that doesn't have a song.
Great.
Yeah,
it'll be Toxic by Britney Spears.
All right, so new rule, no song for you guys.
Anything but that.
Yeah. Can you tell us what you are here to talk to us about?
Yes, well, my name's Lauren, and I am the writer for the show A Lost Cause, which will be opening in a week at Basement Theatre, and it is based on a fictional mental health facility, and it's about six women who are mentally unfit, or deemed so by what is my interpretation of the New Zealand mental health system.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically just a commentary on what it's like living with mental health in New Zealand and just how that determines how you interact with people and how people see you. And yeah, it's just a really cool cast of amazing women, and I'm really proud of it. And with me is not Amber, because she had better things to do, but this is Bridget, and she plays a character called Jack, and she's fantastic.
Thanks, Lauren. I feel like you're stuck with me because our incredible director, Amber, couldn't be here.
I love Amber.
Oh, she's
honestly, so
good.
Anything that she's in or directed or been a part of, I'm a big fan of.
I don't think I've ever met anyone more hardworking. Yeah. Amber.
Should we just talk about Amber for the next?
Yeah.
I'm done on that.
Go follow Amber Labate on Instagram.
Cool. All right. Definitely looking forward to hearing more about that. It's amazing. I'm loving this kind of theme that we've going on with both of your pieces.
Mm. Social commentary.
Yeah.
Yes.
Totally. And last but absolutely not least, welcome to the studio, Claire and Peter. Who, you're doing a concert, a tribute concert to Leonard Cohen?
Yes, indeed. Yes, we've got a tribute concert on the 28th of October at the Concert Chamber in the Auckland Town Hall, a fantastic venue. And yes, we're going to sing some Leonard Cohen at their concert.
Is it you yourself that's going to be performing?
Yes, I'm a singer, and Peter is the leader of the band and also a singer, and he leads the evening.
Yeah. What kind of a band do you have? Does it change throughout the night, or what's the setup there?
Hi everyone, I'm Peter from Imperfect Offering, Leonard Cohen Tribute Band. So we've got a nine-piece band, with three of us vocals, we have drums, two guitarists, bass, and keyboards and violinist. So all the musicians are on for most of the songs, but sometimes we have a simplified version with just a couple of vocalists and one guitar. So mixing up the different settings of the different songs.
And a balalaika. We even have a balalaika.
That's so true, cool.
We do.
Yeah, it's nice.
Ask that question first.
What is that?
It is a small stringed instrument, which came from the Middle East, but it's used typically in Turkish or Armenian music. And a lot of Leonard Cohen's music had very great mix of styles, but one of the styles that comes through beautifully is the Jewish sound. So having the balalaika is quite a cool instrument to have on board.
Mm-hmm. Three-string instrument.
Oh, cool. Why Leonard Cohen? What's your relationship with him and his music?
Well, we just love his music. If anybody's ever been to Leonard Cohen concert recently, in the latter years of his life, he toured New Zealand three times. Mm-hmm. And I went to his first concert at Victor in 2009, and I was just awestruck by the quality of the music, the beauty of the poetry that comes through in the music, the band itself, just top-class musicians. So many people left that concert saying it was the best concert they'd ever been to. I was saying that as well. Mm-hmm. So I started, I knew a number of Cohen songs before that, but after that concert really got into it and bought up a lot more of his CDs and then had this crazy idea to start up a band that would perform Leonard Cohen.
I really like the way that Peter described age 16 on his, strumming his guitar on his bed, singing Suzanne, right?
That's right,
it was the first song, and that's one of our key songs in the concert. And it's a few decades later.
It is.
Isn't it? But still doing Suzanne. It's really neat.
It was 1967, Suzanne, Leonard Cohen, his first iconic song that thrust him into the public view. It was when I was learning the guitar about age 16, Suzanne was one of the first songs that I learned. So it was very well known at that time, and still it's his number two most popular song is Suzanne.
So you're probably really good at it by this point. Playing it.
After 50 years?
Yeah.
Well, hopefully I'm getting better.
Do you, in the songs that you, the Leonard Cohen songs that you do, are you like quite a purist? Do you like to do it the way that he's done it, try to make it sound like his sound, or do you mix it up a bit, or maybe a bit of both?
Well, there's only one Leonard Cohen, and so we try to do the settings largely of his touring band in the latter years of his life with the instrumentation of that, but we don't endeavour to replicate Cohen's voice. Really, can't do that. Yeah. I'm a high baritone, so I'm about an octave and a half above what he would sound like. Yeah. And Claire sings some of the songs, and Amy, our other female vocalist, mm-hmm. And two of the other men sing a song or two as well. So we have a mix of vocalists and different sounds.
The good thing about Cohen is that he started off as a young man, so through his recordings he goes from high right down to basso. Profundo, yeah. So he gets lower and lower through his career.
Yeah.
So that gives us a lot of scope. And the songs that two female vocalists sing are the backing vocalists that Leonard had, and they came and did some solos. So it breaks up the sort of timbres, and you get to hear a whole range of sounds and songs.
Yeah. Now you'll have to excuse me, because I appreciate Leonard Cohen, but I don't know an awful lot about him. The songs that you get to select, is there quite a lot? Is it a bit overwhelming? How do you choose the songs that you are wanting to do?
Well, there's so many beautiful songs in his repertoire. So the problem we have is which ones to leave out, really. Mm-hmm. We choose the most popular songs, the ones that people love.
Hallelujah
is the number one song, and so many other ones as well. So, and we mix it up. We've introduced six new songs into the next two concerts that we're doing from what we were doing earlier in the year. So we're bringing in new material, as we go along. Awesome. Of his repertoire.
Cool. And I will get all the details at the end of the night for shameless promotion, but just for people who are going, I really need to see this and I want to get a ticket now, what are the the two concerts that you're going to be doing. Where are they, and what are the details for that?
Well, the first concert is in the Auckland Town Hall in the Concert Chamber, and the bookings are on Ticketmaster. So you can book in, or you can look at aucklandlive.com. There has, you just look for Imperfect Offering, and that is the 28th of October, in about 3 weeks. And then we have a Wellington gig as well, so a first time to the capital city, and that's on Saturday the 3rd of November, and you can look for that on Event Finder.
Cool.
So just Google Imperfect Offering and we'll come up somehow or other.
And I will also be tagging your Facebook page over the next couple of days with a post that we'll put up with the podcast tonight.
Oh,
so
nice.
People can get it that way as well if they aren't doing it right now but they want to do it over the next couple of days.
Oh, thank you.
That really
thank
just you. Sounds like so much fun.
Yeah.
It sounds like a good night. Do you feel like to really appreciate it, people should have a good understanding of Leonard Cohen, or do you think you could come along, someone like me who I know a handful of songs and I like them, but...
Yeah, it's absolutely universal. That's what's so cool about the band. I mean, the range in the performers in the band themselves, we range from, what, 23?
20.
Right up to undisclosed age, but beyond 50. so it's... And when we get audiences along, obviously we attract an older audience because these are people that have heard Cohen for decades, but young people really hook in. I mean, the punks were greatly fond of Cohen. He just spoke very bluntly about things. And so they liked that sort of straight-up approach of his. So he generated whole groups of fans. I mean, it's a bit like David Bowie, that you'd have lots of different types of people attracted to the music in different decades. So they'll be guaranteed to know one song at least, but you'll be introduced to a whole bunch more.
I love that as well. When I went and saw the tribute concert for Mahina Arangi Tōka earlier on in the year, and so many of her songs, I didn't even realise they were her. Songs I'm really familiar with.
That's
and
right.
Even then, just being able to hear other people's, take on a song, even if I hadn't heard it before, and then going away and listening to it, I was like listening to her for days and days. I feel like this is going to be the same with Leonard Cohen, although I feel tempted just to go and listen to some now. Is it all right if we actually just play some now that we're talking about it?
Yeah, it'd be lovely. Yeah. Thank you.
You have chosen for us to play Hallelujah, the version live in Dublin.
That's right.
Right? That's from its recent tour. It's 2012 from the touring band of that six-year period from 2008 to 2013, which was 3 years before he died, actually, after that.
It's pretty cool to be on tour in your 80s, isn't it, still singing the songs.
Pretty amazing. I heard that... did anyone see the Bob Dylan concert?
No. Yes, I did.
Yeah, what do you think? I've heard mixed reviews.
Yeah, I try to be a fan of Bob Dylan, but I can't quite get there.
I heard that it was good if you weren't expecting for him to do it anything like what you were expecting him to do.
Yes, that's right,
I heard it was a bit rough around the edges, but yeah.
Yeah, my brother's a massive fan, and he was just said it was kind of sad to watch him just sitting on a chair being old.
Oh, that's sad.
It's that's really sad. Mm.
Oh, no, I feel like we need to talk about something good now. We're going to go into a really sad song. Why did you choose this particular song in this version of it?
Oh, it's the one that everybody demands. Mm-hmm. When we start performing it, there's a cheer that goes up in the audience. So, how can you fight that?
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, cool. All right, let's get into it. So this is Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen, and this is his version live in Dublin.
Now I've heard there was a secret chord that David played. It pleased the Lord. Ah, but you don't really care for music. The fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing Hallelujah, 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 Hallelujah. Faith was strong, but you needed proof. this room and I've walked this floor. You see, I used to live alone before I knew you. And I've seen your flag on the Marble Arch. But listen, love, love is not some kind of victory march. No, it's a cold and it's a very broken hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
That was so beautiful. I can see why you picked that version. It was so good. Almost as good as your guys singing. Thank you so much.
I don't know why she wouldn't put it on air, but we sounded really good.
There were harmonies and everything.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was like a little chorus. Brilliant. That was super cute.
See, it brings out the best in people.
Yeah. Not wrong.
Chloe, you've also got some music for us that we'll play in a little bit.
I do, yes.
Some music from your musical.
Yes.
Why a musical? Why did you pick a musical? Why did the writer, Daniel, who's not here, pick a musical?
And well,
sorry, I've got too many questions and they're all coming out at once. First question.
Why a musical?
Yeah. Why a musical?
Well, I'll try delve into Daniel's mind for you. I feel like doing this as a musical enables us to just go really like over the top and kind of like address the issues that we're talking about in a like lighter and fun way.
Mm-hmm. Like more accessible.
Yeah. So for example, the song that we're going to play is called Only Girl in the Bar, and it's basically about what happens in this scene when we have this song is there's only one girl left in the bar. And, and one girl and a bunch of creepy lads, as they're titled in the script, Creepy Lad 1, 2, 3, and 4.
That's awesome.
They kind of like attack her, I guess you could say. But the way that the writer, Daniel, has put it is they're kind of like zombies, I guess. So
it's good.
Yeah, so as you can see, the musical aspect has helped us like take this like kind of situation that would be kind of scary. Being the only girl in the bar, and then there's just a bunch of guys, and you're like, oh, I feel a bit surrounded by testosterone. And they become, you know, they become zombies, and it just makes it a bit more interesting, I guess.
You can, you can make it more theatrical, which sounds silly because it's theater, and all theater is theatrical, but I'm picking up what you're putting down, and it's hard to explain, but, like, it gives you a better platform for being a bit ridiculous.
Exactly, maybe. Ridiculous. Yeah. That is the word. Yes, because, you know, musicals are always really extra out there.
Yeah.
You can suspend your disbelief with musicals a lot more than if you were doing, like, a naturalistic theatre piece.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there's, you've got, like, it's a social commentary, or you're trying to make, is it that you're wanting people to go away? I haven't got any words tonight, sorry guys. I'm only hosting a radio show. is it that you are wanting people to go away thinking about things or going away with a particular message?
No, definitely thinking about all of the things that we've brought up. So, like I said, we address heaps of different issues that come up in, like, kind of this millennial world. So not only, like, with that, I guess that's sexist stuff,
like this kind of uncomfortable power imbalance where she's like vulnerable,
when you're more vulnerable, when you're like walking alone home alone at night and you're a girl, it's just not the same as walking home alone at night if you're a guy, so kind of addressing the stigma around that. And also we've got like scenes about cultural appropriation, so it's kind of like there's not just one issue that we attack. I'm sorry.
We're never going to say anything other than attack now.
It's a zombie
it's just
thing.
Attack. Yeah. Exactly. I'm just going off that thread. No, we don't just address and look at one issue in this show, but we kind of like get everyone thinking about all of the things that so rather than like having just this one really strong message about one thing, it's kind of putting your foot in all these little puddles, and you can like walk away having thought about all those different types of things from the show.
Yeah, and do you think that like having it as a musical is like quite a fun way of doing that, so it's like not as heavy for people when you've got all of these topics that are quite heavy.
Strong and heavy? Yeah, I think that, yeah, like I said, doing it as a musical makes it more fun, and it's it also adds a lot of comedic flair to it.
Because like something like cultural appropriation, like I struggle so much to talk to people about cultural appropriation because people just don't find it hard to open their minds to these it's so I can see why doing it in the form of song would be
a good way to do that, to kind of like express those ideas in a way that isn't kind of so
confronting.
Confronting mm-hmm. is exactly the word I was looking for. That's so cool.
Thank you.
And because a lost cause, that's mm-hmm. you're trying to do a similar type thing, aren't you, in terms of a social commentary, like people coming away with
some
thoughts.
Yeah, it's very, it's about the mental health system, and it is a very blunt, I don't want to say criticism, because it's not a criticism, it's just
an expose.
Critique.
It's just my experience and how I feel about it put into a, I don't know, it's, because I don't want to say that there are no good parts of the mental health system in New Zealand, because mm-hmm. there are, and I know people have had great experiences mm-hmm. and I've been lucky enough to have a good experience, but there's also a lot of flaws and a lot of things that need to be addressed mm-hmm. and so we do that.
Yeah.
But we also do it in a way, I mean, it's heavy and it is really heavy, but it's a comedy, which I know is quite a bizarre...
Yeah, how do you make that work, having quite serious content and serious ideas, but also putting humour into that without laughing at those serious ideas or people who have had those experiences?
That's been the biggest thing, I think, that scared me from the first draft all the way till what I think this is the fifth of, like, I never wanted it to be, like, making light of it. But I also don't want to act as though people with mental illness are two-dimensional, because I think that's an easy thing. When you struggle with depression or anxiety, you get into a point where you think you are just sad, you know, and like that becomes your personality. And I know personally I went through that, where I was like, I'm the depressed girl, and like that's all I had to offer. And I think humour is a really important part of it, because either people use it as a coping mechanism, or people use it so that they can say things without coming across really vulnerable, or people can use humour to address the fact that they're not just sad, they're also funny. You know, people have more... I think that was the thing for me. I'm like, I'm not just sad, I'm also hilarious. And I think with a lot of people, it's just opens up more dimensions in people.
Yeah, the way I see it as an actor, having picked up the script and working with that, is I see, like, the script... It will make people laugh, and I think the intention is possibly to make the audience go like, ha ha ha, oh yeah, that's real, kind of use that to really hit home.
Yeah, because I think that is a lot of things, especially in our culture, of like people don't like gross and heavy things, so they will just laugh. And I think that's a go-to of like something so nasty, so you laugh. And like a black comedy is like littered through, you watch any New Zealand film, it's like all really sad, but everyone laughs at it because that's the way to reach people, you know, because you don't want to just sit and watch people be sad for an hour, because you can't relate to that. You don't want to relate to that.
And another thing we use, they were talking about, you know, the musical earlier, there's a lot of movement in the piece, which I think helps to A, have that theatrical nature and give more, you know, as well on as another layer underneath the text as well, and showing, you know, the emotional struggles and the turmoil that all these women are going through, and the huge different layers that all the wahine in the play do have.
Yeah. Is that having six characters, I imagine, like, how do you tell the story of those? Do they all... Sorry, let me just start again. Are they all, like, equally main parts? Do we hear the stories of all of those six women, or do we focus in on more some than others? I'm just wondering how do you tell six different stories within one, just, like, quite limited time frame?
Yeah. It is... You follow one character, Alison, through her getting admitted into the house and then meeting all the women in the house. So you follow her, but it's her getting to know everyone. So there are, I think there's characters that you get to know a bit better, but I think it's, they're all their stories are told. to a certain degree. But yeah, you follow one character throughout that.
Yeah.
Because yeah, I wanted originally, I wrote it as an ensemble piece and trying to cram it all in. It's like I was trying to write a 5-season Netflix special with like a 45-minute play at the basement. It just doesn't quite work. So yeah, you do have to kind of create a character that the audience can identify with and follow that way, which I think works. I hope it works. Come see the show.
Do you, because it is commenting, or is it like based on how our current mental health system is working, or like how is it a critique of that?
Yeah, I think it is. It's not based on, because it's a fictional facility, so it's not based on an actual mental health home or anything, but it's based on the idea of neglect and the concept of how much you have to do before anyone helps you. Mm-hmm. Because I think with our system, there are so many things in place that it's not until you're actually past the point of crisis that you get the help you need. And I think it's just kind of seeing all these women clearly needing help, but there's just no funding or there's no room for them.
Yeah.
You know, there's no one has the ability to help them. And so it's kind of, it's fictionalized, but it's definitely like critiquing the lack of systems in place to help people that are inconvenient.
Yeah.
I think another important and amazing thing about the piece is that you also see the counsellor's story, mm-hmm. and how she's doing her best with the resources that she has, mm-hmm. given the demand that she has.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's been awesome to watch as that character has developed and made sure that that story is also told amongst the other girls that are in the house as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. Is there a particular reason why you've chosen to focus on women within the piece and have all of the characters women?
As a woman, I feel like that's a story I could tell better. I don't think, I would love to be able to kind of target the stigmas that are around men and mental illness and emotion, but I felt like in the current climate, I really wanted to focus on making like a strong female oriented team. Like, I'm just really excited to have, we've got one man doing the lights, but other than that, on Maynard doing the music, and then we're just a strong like women. And I guess I just, it was what I could tell, like, and it's through my experience, and I just didn't think
last week on the show we had in really incredible man, Bruce Brown, who runs the Legacy Project. I don't know if any of you are familiar with them, but they take on they're a program that take on a certain amount of theatre pieces that they put on during Pride Month every year, and it's about telling the stories of the LGBTQI community. And having those stories told by the people whose stories they actually belong to. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was such a beautiful concept, and like, I can really hear that in the work that you're doing as well, that it's like telling the story of women who are going through the mental health system, that you can tell that story from like your experience and your ownership there as well. Super cool.
Thanks, ma'am.
It's been incredible as an actor as well, like from day one, rehearsal one, there was just this insane support network and everyone got really open and really vulnerable and really supportive really quickly, and so it just has made it quite a really incredible process. And I just go into rehearsal and come out of rehearsal fizzing, I guess.
Chloe, in Saturday Night Vignettes as well, it's a similar type thing as well, isn't it? It's like telling the story of people whose stories maybe kind of need to be told or don't get told, because you've got there's an LGBTQI
aspect.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the structure, I guess, is a little similar to Lost Cause. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Where we have two characters who are two main characters who go through the story and they kind of meet and then pick up other people throughout it who then have like their own song, their own scene that addresses another like issue. So the main guy, Evan, who gets called Ivan by his grinder date, is he's part of the commentary on like dating culture to do with LGBT gay people. And then the girl main character is about, she kind of brings up issues around the, like how I said, the only girl in the bar thing. So the stigma around women being the lesser sex, which is wrong. And
it's wrong.
Yes, that's not the goods. And then we also have, like, I'm forgetting my own show now. What happens in this? There's like also the most eccentric character I could say we have is who we call the Night Jogger. And this is probably less about his character, doesn't really address an issue, but more maybe like something. He's basically a drug dealer who has no friends. So his song's called Friendship, and it's all about how he wants to, everyone just views him as this drug dealer and they think that he's just a stereotype, but really there's a person inside that stereotype who they're not seeing. So I guess the character of the Night Jogger is kind of addressing the idea that you shouldn't judge a book by its cover. Yeah. But it's just a very... funny and
now that you say it, like, you don't, like, that's how people talk about people though. Like, if someone is a drug dealer, it's like, yeah, like such and such is seeing this guy, he's a drug dealer, and then so you kind of feel like you know him already, even though you don't.
Exactly.
Stop judging drug dealers, guys.
Be friends with your drug dealers. Yeah. Guys,
this guy has a whole backstory, but like, I won't tell it. You should just come see the show.
That's a really good sell. I'm interested.
Yeah, you should come see the Night Jogger's backstory. It's really interesting.
I really like that idea though, like the don't judge a book by its cover. We can all be reminded of that.
Yeah.
I'm really curious to hear the song that you've brought.
Yes.
So just for people who have just joined us, what is the song?
So the context of this, the title of the song is called Only Girl in the Bar. And what happens is our main girl character is she's supposed to be out having the best night of her life with her girl best friend, but then and they're both really excited because they haven't seen each other after, you know, they graduated from uni and they've both been really busy, and now it's their time to go out and have some fun as girls, and it's all like, woo, girl power. And they get to the bar and her best friend ditches her for the first guy that she sees. And then she's all bummed out, and to make it even better, a bunch of the zombie men come and you know, try and make their moves, but she's just not having it. And that is the context of Only Girl in the Bar.
Cool. All right, let's give it a listen.
Hey, I notice you're the only girl in the bar. Let's ditch the club, but we don't have to go far. I have a waterside apartment with a nice view of you that's not nearly as beautiful as you. I can make you pancakes, maybe watch a Blu-ray, or wake up my roommate, make this a three-way. Well, hey there, my lady, can I have this dance? I'm a real nice guy if you give me a chance. Got a broken heart, I have kisses that can mend. Hey, I love you, shall I call you my girlfriend? I just feel there's a good energy between us. By the way, here's a recent picture of my penis. You look familiar. From where? I don't know. Oh wait, did we match on Tinder 2 years ago? You haven't replied, missed out on a charming man. Guess it's luck that I found you on Instagram. I saw your post, knew you'd be here tonight. What a small world, you wanna go grab a bite?
Oh my god, what's that smell? Something really stinks.
Yo, my
My name is Todd and I showered legs. I'm an electrician, babe. So cash is an accessory. I must be on a job cause I sent some electricity. Let's hop in my Hilux and make out to some nickel bag. You could quit your job, be my wife, what you think of that?
It's me again, I got this question I must ditch. I'm a nice guy, so why are you being such a bitch? Let's travel the world like a 16th century explorer. I have great fashion sense, look at my fedora. Those jocks will never treat you right. Lower those walls, girl, please don't put up a fight.
There was a lot of laughing and squealing and just kind of squirming around the room to that. It's very uncomfortable. But it's so realistic. So that's the zombie man coming onto this young woman while she's in the bar all by herself in... Yeah.
Yeah, but do not worry. She actually fights back and all of them get... They all end up like dead. They all end up really. They're all injured.
The radio
on the
can't see your air quotes, by the way.
Sorry, I was doing air quotes. Yeah, all of the all the male characters, she beats them up, like hooks them and kicks them, and they all end up injured on the ground. And she walks out of the bar like, "Yeah, see, I'm better than all of you. I didn't need any of that." And it's quite an empowering moment for that character. She just defeats all these guys. It's a fun time.
I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Mm, yeah. Great. You should be.
I am. As someone who's recently gone back into the dating community, ooh, I am constantly being surprised at how people just say things that are really threatening and awful a lot. Mm-hmm. Yep. So that song was very relatable, and I'm looking forward to seeing the piece and, like, having some thought-provoking moments, and it just... seems great. I have a question for the room, just to float to the room. Do you think that, maybe yes, maybe no, that there should be a message behind art? Like, if you're going to be writing a piece or directing a piece or even, like, putting on a concert, that there would be, like, something larger that you're wanting to put out rather than just entertainment? Or is it okay just for it to be entertainment? Or...
I think all art does have a message. It's almost unavoidable because we produce from a subjective point of view. But then again, you can't control what your audience is going to take from it, and that's kind of the process. And that's a nice thing about it, so that from one poem you can take, one line will mean something to you. Mm-hmm. So I think the artists, they almost send their work out into the world, which you might relate to as a writer, and they don't know what's going to happen to their little children. They go out and they create all sorts of other lives beyond. I think that's why it's so cool to be part of, to be part of a Leonard Cohen tribute band, for instance, is just to be part of a great art form. And sometimes, you know, people say, well, why not produce your own work? But on the other hand, when you've got a great artist and you can kind of be part of that expression, you also have the privilege of interpreting a part of that message.
Even
it's
with
going to be one part of the message.
Yeah, even with, I mean, if you're doing something that doesn't have necessarily like lyrics or a story or a very clear message, people take messages from everything to do with anything, because, you know, if you had a play that's even written or produced by a woman or a gay man or whatever, people might like connect with that and take a message from that. So I think that art shouldn't necessarily have a message, but I think that it just does.
And the exact thing at the start of the year, I wrote and performed a comedy show just because I was like, I just thought it would be fun, just like a really silly like parody, like piss take comedy show, but it was me and two other women, so it was inherently feminist, and that's what people took away from it. And like, I just thought it would be fun. And yeah, I think no matter what, just the fact that you make it says something.
I guess the issue, or an issue
from that as well, as if you end up putting out a message that you didn't intend to, if people interpret something a certain way and then you end up having to defend your art and being like, no, that wasn't my intention.
Yeah, sometimes messages can get misinterpreted, but that has to be part of the adventure. Certainly I know Leonard Cohen did sort of wonder whether some of his material should have gone out there, but it did. And he owned it. And I think that's inevitable, that you can have some missiles that go out there and don't hit targets, and some will and some won't. Mm. Some go kind of wonky.
And I think sometimes if I'm watching something and I can see that there's a clear message that people are trying to push on me or tell me, people can get put a wall up and not respond to that's true, if it's really clear that something's being forced at you. Whereas I think if you can get people to feel something, then maybe that message comes through anyway without it being feeling like someone else has told you what to do or what to think.
Yeah, some messages can be quite a turn off, can't they? A lot of people listen to classical romantic music and they just don't engage with it. And then you play Shostakovich, for instance, and it just goes straight to their heart. It's pretty cool.
Interesting. I would, if it's okay, Peter and Claire, I'd really like to play some of this promo clip that you have. So you've got a promo clip up on Facebook for Imperfect Offering. And I'm just really curious what it sounds like. So I'm just going to play it.
The most recent one's the one that would be cool. That's without the banner on it.
Yeah, so that's from our concert at the Ascension Wine Estate, Matakana, in May this year.
That's nice.
Cool. So there's two. It's the more modern one, which is the one we made an amalgamation from a few concerts that we did. And it kind of just blurs in and out of a few songs, doesn't it?
Hmm.
Awesome. So for anyone who has just joined us, I'm just going to play some audio from Imperfect Offering, who are here in the studio. Two of the members are here. And we are talking tonight about a show that they have coming up, which is being hosted in the Town Hall in the Concert Chamber.
That's right, 28th of October.
Which is a commemorative concert to Leonard Cohen. And this is some of the music that they do here.
From Salvation Army counters, and the sun pours down like honey on Our Lady of the Harbour, and she shows you where to look among the garbage and the flowers. There are heroes in the seaweed. Children in the morning, they are leaning out for love. They will lean that way forever while Suzanne holds the mirror. If you want a lover, I'll do anything you ask me to. And if you want another kind of love, I'll wear a mask for you.
Where they buy your beauty there, I need to dry your feet. By such instructions, you prepare. Crown of light, gather up the brokenness and bring it to me now. The fragrance of those prophets.
I used to live for music.
Lady,
remember me. I bought your groceries in.
Lady, yeah.
Oh, well, it's Father's Day and everybody's wounded. First, we take Manhattan. Then we take
That was so cool. I was having so much fun listening to that, and it's just like, it's just these little snippets of some of the songs you do. It sounded
cool.
So nice.
No, thanks for playing that.
And it sounded like, you know, that there's lots of different aspects to the night as well, like that everybody's going to come and there'll be something that they really enjoy.
Yeah. I mean, why is there this stereotype that Cohen is mournful? Because there's so much joy in there as well. And then we have to quote that line, don't we? The reason we're called imperfect offering. We'll come to that maybe. But it's just the light and the shade is what we try to deliver, all the different colours.
Yeah. So how do you plan that out in the night when you're planning, you know, in what order are you going to do the songs? Do you just try to mix it up totally or kind of have a flow to it or...?
Yeah, we try to get a flow. There's different themes that come through. There's some other songs around about relationship and sexuality, so we'll have a bunch of them together. Others more about spirituality. And then there's sort of some of his later songs we put together as well. So just try and get a good mix and a show that flows.
Yeah. Do you speak as well, like about Leonard Cohen, about your relationship with his music during the show, or does it really just the songs?
No, we do quite a bit of commentary and a little bit of a storyline around Cohen's life. So there'll be some real Cohen fans that are in there who know heaps about Cohen, but others who don't at all. So, you know, introducing the audience to the different phases of his life and how each of the songs, you know, reflect where he's at that time in his life so that they can get the bigger picture and the bigger context of his life and his music.
Yeah, cool. Very cool. I'm really enjoying this. I'm going to be listening to Leonard Cohen the next couple of days. We're actually talking, we might finish Kickouts tonight with So Long, Marianne, which is my favourite.
Oh, yes, nice. Beautiful
how,
song.
It's how I got introduced to him. I had my high school boyfriend played me that song, and I really, really fell in love with it, and now I really love the song, and I also really like him. Shout out, Tom. Shout out to Tom. You're cool.
Still friends.
We're really good friends.
That is so nice.
He's awesome. He's actually got a big poster of Leonard Cohen on his wall. And we've got this great photo of us having a little chuckle underneath it.
Oh,
I know. Super cute.
You're going to say it's a big poster of you on
that as well. Yeah. It's a bit weird. We don't talk about that. All right.
That's a fun direction.
Just for a totally different change in conversation, Gemma, you're going to do a review for us. What are you reviewing? Some classical music, a classical musician. Playing some music.
Yeah, well, I'm reviewing, so the NZSO, the New Zealand Symphony Orchestra, they have a concert. It was in Auckland last night, so unfortunately if you're Auckland, you can't see it. Oh, you missed out. But it's travelling the South Island next week, so I'll give you the details of that in a minute. But yeah, so the NZSO did a concert called Moser Plays Shostakovich, and the programme was... the overture from Prince Igor, the opera by Borodin, and the Shostakovich Cello Concerto No. 1, and then selections from Prokofiev's ballet Romeo and Juliet. So it was a Russian affair. I don't know how much of any of what I'm going to say in the next few minutes is going to mean to anybody who doesn't listen to classical music, but
those were the most confusing words I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, cool. Awesome. I'm glad.
I mean... Claire used to be an opera singer.
Oh, amazing.
She graduated from Victoria University in opera performance.
In the Royal Northern College of Music.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
I'm glad I have a friend in this room. Often I'll play a classical piece to Georgia and I'll be like, oh, doesn't it make you want to cry? Doesn't it
No, it just makes me anxious.
Yeah, so, I mean, my thing with classical music is I want everyone to think that it's... for them, that it's accessible, because as you said before, classical music is so broad, and the term classical music, I'm doing air quotes here, classical music, people usually refer to classical music as orchestral music, Because classical is actually a period within classical music, and it's not very representative of the whole genre. My personal favourite is chamber music, which is smaller, so like string quartets and smaller little pieces, but I love a good symphony. But yeah, so this concert last night, the NZSO had a soloist, Johannes Moser. He's German-Canadian guy. He plays the cello, so instantly connected to him because I play the cello, and whenever there's a cellist soloing with either the APO or NZSO, I try and get to those concerts because it just makes my heart sing. Yeah, so they started out with the Borodin, which is one of the more popular overtures if you're going to pick a Russian opera. I don't know. It's quite well known. It was nice. It was good. The overture for me is so the, I don't know if you guys know how a concert like this is usually structured, but usually, so there's a first half and there's an interval in the second half. First half is usually a shorter piece, so maybe like 10 minutes long, and then they go into, usually it's a concerto, and a concerto is with a featured soloist, and then there's an interval, and then they do a longer piece, which is like a symphony, or this time around it was a selection of bits from a ballet. So the overture for me is usually like a little taste. It's like all the pieces are usually trying to link together. Yeah, so the overture is like a little entrance into that. But for me, the main event was the cello concerto. It's one of my favourite cello concertos, and I have played in an orchestra, not as the soloist, but as one of the cellists in the orchestra with the cello concerto as well. So, like, I know it kind of inside out, and I was just waiting for it. And I've listened to it twice before as well, live. So, yeah, I thought it was beautiful. Moser's a really, really seasoned soloist, and yeah, I just thought he was really polished and really emotional. Actually, there was this big bit at the beginning where he started playing, and then a couple phrases in, he was being really, really vibrant with his bow, really like doing heaps of flourishes, like flicking it all around. And then he accidentally whacked a stand to his right, and everyone in the audience just kind of went, and it was like, oh my gosh, because you know, if something goes wrong right at the beginning, if he breaks his bow or if he like hurts his hand, it like could just change the whole thing. So it was like this tense moment, and then he just kind of like composed himself and just kept going, and it was like, oh man, if that were me, I don't know what I would do. One time I was playing in an orchestra, and I had to turn the page, and how I used to turn the page is I would take the bow from my right hand and put, I don't do this anymore for this reason, I used to take the bow from my right hand, put it in my left hand, turn the page with my right hand, and then put the bow back into my right hand from my left hand, which is a lot of movements, and you have to do it very quickly. So I was really excited. It was a really fast piece of music. I was like, oh, got to turn the page. So instead of putting my bow in my left hand, I just threw it. It just missed my hand. And it went flying about 2 meters away from me. And this was in the middle of a concert. And some violins had to, like, pick it up and pass it back to me. And I was like, oh, no.
Would anyone have seen it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's amazing.
The life and times of Gemma.
So I guess the usual strategy would be to like take your left and cross
left
over.
Hand. Yep.
Exactly. Using your free hand.
You should be a cellist.
I'm a saxophonist. I can transition.
It wasn't a soloist I did a concert with who was wearing a dress which didn't require a bra, so she flung it over the back of her chair, obviously, but she came out for the concert and she had accidentally hooked it on the back of her dress.
Oh my gosh.
So she wore her underwear on the outside of this beautiful ball dress. It was quite a comic moment. It was kind of the pathos of art there, right there.
I love that.
Yeah, you just have to own that.
Throw that story in there.
I don't know what I would do if I were in that situation and I noticed. I don't know that I would fix it.
Pluck it off her dress and fling it into the audience.
Oh, yeah,
I think.
Swing it around.
Yes,
yeah.
Make a
get
most
them
of
screaming.
It.
Yeah.
Just change the mood completely.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so terrible.
That's really embarrassing.
I'm feeling stressed out now that something like that's going to happen during my week. Gemma, what song would you like us to play?
Yeah, so the song that I've got lined up is, it's from the Prokofiev Romeo and Juliet ballet. It's probably the most famous of the ballet, the dancers. It's the Montagues and Capulets dancers.
Oh, yes.
And this, I think, is the Philadelphia Orchestra. Is that what it says on there? When you introduce a classical piece of music, you're supposed to say the orchestra and the conductor, and I don't know who the conductor is. I'm so sorry. It might say on your screen.
Spotify's terrible. Yeah. It doesn't put the artists on so often.
But the problem is that I'm a bit blind.
Yeah, Spotify usually doesn't include it anyway, so we'll forgive,
it
we'll
does
forgive
say
us.
It does say it. It's Sergei Prokofiev.
Oh, no, so Prokofiev is the composer.
Ah, okay.
But there should
and
be another.
Ricardo Muti?
That'll be the
I knew that
conductor.
Off the top of my head. I didn't read it off the screen.
That's promise. Amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Let's listen to it. Let's see if it makes me anxious.
Yeah, cool.
It's exciting.
Bullets make me anxious. Oh, this... of classical music, I think of very, very long songs, whereas that one was very short and it made me want to stamp around. And I think that might have been a life-changing experience for me. Thank you, Gemma.
I'm so happy. That makes me so happy.
But can you say the thing that you said before about how it's better seeing it live?
Yeah. Oh, it's always better seeing it live because Spotify, if you use Spotify, they lower quality. Even if you put it on the highest quality, you're still missing out the intricacies, especially with an orchestra because they're in that piece of music that's like 60 plus musicians on stage. So seeing it live, I was saying especially that specific piece of music, it starts out with this ridiculously low and like just like guttural tuba and trombone, and they just sort of like I can't even explain it because it's just this really like great massive sound, and it just sounds so cool sitting in
the for orchestra, right?
Huh?
The vibrations through your
chest. You can feel it in your body. Sitting in the town hall, just like you just get this huge wave, and it's just amazing. And that piece specifically, like I think Prokofiev, he does this really interesting thing where he brings out the bass at the very beginning, and then he has the melody and the trumpets and the violins, and they're independent of each other. And then towards the end, he like mashes them together, and it's like a little equation. But yeah, it's always better if you have a spare evening, please go and see an orchestra, especially the Auckland Philharmonic Orchestra if you're in Auckland, because it's so important for us to support that.
Yeah, and we had one of the conductors from APO come in last week to talk about some shows that they were doing, and man, it was so amazing. I didn't realise. I thought that they would do, in my head, I just assumed that they would do 3 or 4 shows a year and they would spend the whole time. Yeah, you just frowned at me like, girl, you do not know. And they would like practice like crazy.
Heaps, yeah.
But that would be like the 9 to 5. Mm-hmm. But actually, they do that plus they do like, you're saying that they will be doing like a show like next week and they'll start rehearsing for it like just a couple of days beforehand. And they are just good enough musicians at a standard that they can just do that.
Absolutely.
And hopefully they'll get some time to really rehearse it. But
totally.
Wow.
Yeah.
True story.
True story.
And
musicians are amazing.
The show he was talking about was The Composer is Dead, which is the based on the Lemony Snicket book.
Mm.
Super cool.
That's cool.
And it's like a children's thing. So it's like there's something for everyone.
Yeah. Some of the APO concerts, some of my favourite APO concerts that I've been to are the ones that are aimed towards kids because they're just so fun. And that's the kind of thing that if you're not necessarily vibing with classical music, you should go to, because they sit there and explain things and they play music that is fun and like that's easy to get into.
Yeah.
APO is really good at that, and the educational content with APO is like top notch.
I've been to some of the Unwrapped, which are
they're amazing.
What's Unwrapped?
They'll pick one piece, usually a famous piece, and they just completely break it down. They'll play it in sections. They'll play like a couple minutes at a time, and then they'll stop, and the conductor will get a microphone and talk about it, and like talk about like the themes or the like. My favorite thing is when they talk about the cultural and historical significance of the piece, like what was happening, especially with somebody like Shostakovich. It's so interesting thinking about what was happening in his life or in the world at the time that the piece was composed. And that's something that the APO with the Unwrapped series does super well. Making classical music more accessible.
Cool. That's awesome. Also, while you were doing your review, I quickly decided that I also wanted to do my own review.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now that we're getting back into when I first started doing reviews for Kick-Arts, I would take dates on to like when I was reviewing something, I'd take dates so, and I would also do a date review.
Oh my god, yes. Yeah.
But this time I'm going to see a film this week. I'm going to the premiere of A Star is Born that Marlon Williams is in. I'm taking a date for that and I'm going to ask his consent to review that date. So we'll have a date review next week. But this time it's just a review of the concert because I haven't asked his permission. But I will say it was boring. zero risk of him hearing this. anyway, but the gig was really good. The gig was really good. And it was worth mentioning because I saw a brand new local band and their name is Tipneys and they played all the songs they have and it was great. So look out for Tipneys, guys, because they're epic and I feel like they're going to make major waves. They're kind of like How the Unclear.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And also Sports were playing, the Sports SPAWTS, and I've seen them before and I thought they were good, but I wasn't really sold. I was so sold on Wednesday night. So Sports, well worth seeing. And then there was this other guy called Benjamin who I just wasn't really into. But the rest of it was really good. So that's Georgia's review from her. It was at Wine Cellar, which is such a cool venue, apart from that the toilets were out of order. So it's like one of them's like...
only a urinal.
Yeah.
So they've only got one toilet that women can use. And so if anyone needs to poo, we just have to wait. It's very frustrating.
I love that.
Yep. Cool. But anyway, as you say, you know, going out and seeing APO, like actually there are opportunities all the time in Auckland City to go and see something and go and see something totally new. So even if it's like a night of the week, I mean, obviously they're going to be coming to like all of the shows we've been talking about tonight.
Oh, yeah.
But also there's other stuff happening all the time and people should get out and see it.
Yeah. APO almost exclusively play on Thursdays. So keep your Thursdays free, guys.
Keep your Thursdays free.
When we rehearse.
It's our rehearsal. It's a dilemma.
Gosh. I have dinner with my nana on a Thursday. I should start reviewing that.
Oh my god, please.
Has anyone seen Babylon Berlin?
But the Netflix series. Oh,
the Netflix series?
Yep.
Yeah, there's this one song that they do in Babylon Berlin that my nana's obsessed with, and she makes us watch it every time we go.
Yeah, I've met your nana like three times, and even she's shown it to me.
Yeah. It's great. Yeah, but she sees these amazing wisdoms. Anyway, what is the target audiences, right? APO, they do a great job of it. They're like mixing it up all over the place. Saturday night vignettes, what kind of an audience are you expecting for that?
I'd say we're mainly looking at millennial uni students. We can delve into either end of that as well. But I'd say since it's Stray Theatre Company is the Auckland Uni Theatre Company, so... we are mainly targeting our peers and fellow students, I guess.
Yeah. And because it's kind of based within, like, the play is kind of, the context is based within that kind of cultural
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, totally, totally. Like, it's, we visit, like, three bars within the narrative of the story, and they're all, I guess you could say, like, the staple bars you would go to.
Oh, the actual, like,
well,
bars?
Well, it's set, the show's being put on at Backbeat, but, like, yeah. the places that we refer to are Bar 101, Family Bar, and then... wine cellar as well, funnily enough. We were just talking about it.
Oh, awesome. Cool. So there's going to be some of my kind in the indie kids.
Yeah.
I don't know.
In that scene, the characters in that scene are called the hipsters, the indie hipsters.
Nice. Cool. I don't know. Would it be under 18 appropriate?
Oh, no, it's definitely R18. Okay. It's on the posters.
Yeah.
Yes.
What about A Lost Cause? What kind of a target audience are you looking for?
I'd say in it, we've got women, we've got characters from about 18 to I think 40. So it's like it's a broad spectrum. There is references to suicide and things in it, so there's clear trigger warnings. So I wouldn't recommend it for anyone young and fragile. So I don't want to be responsible for that.
Yeah, or you like just might want to have a bit of relational knowledge to take in with you to make sure that you're safe with...
Yeah, because I think that's been the main thing. It's like we just want to make sure people are safe. Because I know as like a kid with fragile emotions, you watch Skins and you want to be effy because you think it's cool to be sad.
Yep.
And that's not what we're trying to
do. Totally.
Mm. So, yeah. So I think anywhere probably from about 18 to... your 30s, your kind of classic age of what am I doing with my life?
Yeah.
Depression, naps and crying a lot. But I think it's open to anyone that has struggles or interests or just wants to support women in theatre, which is also just an option.
It's kind of great as well because A Lost Cause runs and then there's like a week between... Oh, wait, sorry, I'm getting my dates all confused. No, there is a clash between the dates of A Lost Cause and Saturday Night Vignettes, which means that people can do, like, go to one, next night go to the other one, and then perfect audience, they can talk about it, it'll be great.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, that makes absolute sense. Thinking, we are 19th and 21st of October. When are you guys?
We are the... 16th. I was just going to bring up the Facebook group. I'm sorry. Yeah, we open on the 16th and we run to the 20th.
But people can like feel all the feels, have all the thoughts.
Yeah, and then
over that time,
go get drunk at a musical.
Absolutely.
And you guys, because there's not a complete overlap, you guys can go to each other's place.
Yeah,
and you can be inspired, and then you can work together on something else, and you can come to Kickouts and talk to me about it.
Although we've just established that Lauren and I can't sing. So.
Well, it doesn't have to be a musical.
Oh, we'll sing.
I heard you sing. I thought you were good.
Yeah, we were just doing Hallelujah before.
Yeah, we
if
nailed
I was you,
it.
I'd be talking to Claire and Peter about maybe doing something at their show.
Yeah, well,
I'll
take his looking solo. Very concerned.
I saw some big nods.
Yeah. Well, Leonard Cohen, themes of mental health, certainly in there as well.
What kind of an audience are you guys expecting for your show? Probably
like
quite
to see
varied.
Everybody there, actually, because I just think it should belong to everybody. But Peter, what would you say?
Well, probably 40 plus is people in 50s and 60s, older there. Mm. But anybody wants to come and be inspired, be just bathe in the beauty of the music, and be inspired and filled up, and touched by the music, and leave more joyous. Really, that's the experience you'll have. So anybody who's up for that, come along.
Well, even I've been thinking about who I would quite like to bring with me because I'm so there. I'm totally sold.
It's going to be a special
great
date
Georgia.
Too. Yeah, well, it just sounds like it's going to be
review.
So much fun. Date review. Probably not because I was thinking my auntie, who I know really
date
loves,
<review.
laughs> really loves Peter Cohen, and also my younger brother.
Don't date review.
Yes. Because he's a real music enthusiast.
How old is he?
He's 18, but he's...
Yeah, he's a Cohen fan.
Yep, and he's just a very... Marvelous. I just love talking to him about music, and I think that he'd really enjoy something like that, really appreciate something like that. So, yeah, date review, me, my auntie, my brother are going to be great.
I don't know.
Family dates.
Family date,
yeah. They're important too.
They love a good platonic date.
Yeah.
Is it a date if it's platonic? This is a tangent.
I think it's because it's like a date, right? You're just putting it in your calendar.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Like a lunch
date.
Yeah.
That's the date is date. Actually the 28th of October. That's the date.
Yeah, there we go.
Always plug.
That was perfect, actually, because it is the right time now for shameless promotion. Do you guys want to start? Just let us know all the details.
Oh, sure.
How we can get tickets, where it is, a brief two-sentence of what it is.
We do recommend you booking because all of our shows have ended up practically selling out. So important to book. It's the Auckland Town Hall, the Concert Chamber, and it's a long email, URL for the bookings, but if you go on Ticketmaster or Auckland Live and you just Google either Cohen or Imperfect Offering and you'll find us on the... And we're performing Sunday, 28th of October at 7 p.m.
And this is a commemorative concert. Leonard Cohen died almost 2 years ago to the day. So this is the end of our commemorative concert series. So his second anniversary.
Cool. Fantastic. And how long should someone expect the show to be?
7:30 through till probably 10:15. We have each set's about an hour. The first set's an hour and a quarter. And then the second set, if you want to bring us back for an encore, that'll be about an hour and a quarter as well, with a break in the middle. So sometime after 10 would go through.
Sunday night, the 28th of October, it's at 7 p.m.
7 o'clock, yes.
So get there at 7
till about 9:30 or a bit later than that.
Cool. Sounds great. What about a lost cause? What are all the details for that?
I'm going to bring up my... Facebook group. So Lost Cause opens on the 16th of October and it runs to the 20th at Basement Theatre. It's on at 6:30 p.m. and you can get tickets from basementtheatre.co.nz, or if you find us on Facebook at Lost Cause NZ, then there's little sneaky promo codes for cheap tickets and all the info. But yeah, basementtheatre.co.nz. Next week, please come.
You'll love it. Yeah, cool. Oh, yeah, just as an aside as well, all of your shows coming up, I found them so easily on Facebook as well. So if anybody can't wait for the Facebook post to come up over the next couple of days on the Kick Arts page, I actually just typed them into the Facebook and it just comes up straight away because they're all very popular, obviously. Saturday Night Vignettes, what are the details?
Yes, Saturday Night Vignettes, we open just after A Lost Cause on the 19th of October and we run until the 21st. We've got four shows happening in the space of 3 days. So if you're a night person, you can come to one of the night ones, or if you're an afternoon day person, there's even a day show for you.
I love that.
Yeah, it's
people
really
could
good
go
time.
To the day show.
And then they could go to Lost Cause. Yeah. Oh, my God, brilliant.
Just planned your day for you.
Yeah, we've done it. That'll be the 20th of October. There you go.
It'll be a big night.
Vignettes and then a Lost Cause. Perfect day. And we are showing at Backbeat on K Road, on the corner of Queen Street and K Road, just above the Guitar Rock Shop. It is a little bit hard to find, but you go to towards the door of the rock shop, and then there's this really funky, small, black door. That's really, really obvious. It's not obvious. But if you, there'll be a sign that says Backbeat and we'll have a big banner up. So when you come to the show, look out for that banner and it'll be a good time. Tickets are $15 for students and $20 for non-students.
It's a great promo there, Chloe.
Thank you.
Love your work, Chloe.
Yeah, and I just wanted to quickly jump in because in my review I mentioned that I'd say when the other concerts are, but I didn't. So if you're in Wellington, go and see Moza plays Shostakovich on the 13th, and then actually on the 14th he's doing the Bach Jello Suites as well. So definitely go to that because that would be amazing. If you're in Christchurch, he's playing on the 10th. And if you're in Dunedin, he's playing on the 11th. So go and see the NZSO and support your national orchestra. Yeah.
Can we jump in for Wellington too?
Yes, please.
Because our Wellington gig is Saturday, the 3rd of November at 7:30. And we're playing at St Andrews on the Terrace. And the bookings is eventfinder.co.nz for that. So Saturday, 3rd of November in Wellington. We'd love to see you at Imperfect Offering.
Awesome. Thank you, everybody, for coming in. That was such a fun show. To our listeners, if you don't follow us already on Facebook, go look us up, Kick Arts, and give us a like, and you will see all the details for all these shows coming up over the next couple of days. I will tag everything. If you would like to come in and talk to us about something that you were doing in the arts community, send us an email on kickarts1@gmail.com or send us a Facebook message, and we would love to have you. The podcast for tonight, that will be available 5 minutes after the show. So if you want to send it on to somebody else or listen to it again, I like to do that.
I do that too.
You can do that. And that is available on planetaudio.org.nz. I have been Georgia. This has been Kick Arts. It's been great. I'm going to actually take us out to my favourite Leland Coward song, which is So Long, Marianne. And yeah, remember to go out this week and kick some.
You make me forget so very much. I forget to pray for the angels, and then the angels forget to pray for us. As we went reeling through the dark. Oh, so long, Marianne. Time we began to laugh and cry and laugh all about it all. Your letters, they all say that you're beside me now.